which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride.
Gentlemen,
forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood.
Ladies.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and poor contempt all my pride.
Thank you very much, everyone. You may be seated. Children, you can be now dismissed, and we'll have the message. Thank you, Pastor.
It's a little bit hard for Hayden and Lentil. They'll be doing announcements for us until they leave at the end of the month. It's a little bit hard for them to ask us all to sign a card for them or to require us to sign a card for them. So this card is at the back, and it says, "We're sad to see, S-E-A, you leave." That's not a misspelling. That was on purpose, okay? They live on the ocean and stuff, so. But we're sad to see you leave. So if you would you sign that card for them, letting them know that you'll be praying for them? And that would be great. I'll put this back there just sometime between now and next year sometime, but I'm kidding. I'll try to remember after the service. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 today, or chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many of you are familiar with the book, The Pilgrim's Progress? How many of you are familiar with the book, The Pilgrim's Progress? It was written about a long time ago, 1687, I think it was written. By John Bunyan while he was in jail. He was in jail for serving the Lord, being faithful to the Lord. He wrote this book as sort of an allegory about this part, there was a second part published years later, but this one was about a person leaving behind the world in order to go to the celestial city. And in this book, he talks about different characters that he met on the way to the celestial city. Some of them tried to get him to turn aside. Some of them told him that he was silly. Some of them absolutely made fun of him. Some of them said, "You need to go after stuff. Some said, "I'm too smart for that. I'd go with you, but I know too much about the world. I know it's not true." In our message today, we'll be making a little bit of reference to that. But this book, if you get a chance, if you'd like to borrow mine, I wouldn't mind you doing that. But it is an absolutely really good book, not like Scripture, but it's a really good book to introduce you to the different things that try to keep us from serving the Lord. He battled many things, the sloth of despair, fearful, lots of different things that he was up against. But he made it, and he wanted his family to come too. They didn't come with him the first time, but they came later. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are going to, for the last time, not Lord willing the last time, but the last time in our study, we're going to read the entire book or chapter of 2 Timothy 3. He says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Now, we put those chapter headings in our Bibles. When Scripture was originally written, they didn't have the chapter headings. So in the next chapter, when it gets into preach the words, be instant in season, it's not a change of subject, but just a continuation of the subject. This morning, I want to continue in our study of 2 Timothy, faithful to the end. And we began this chapter following God in hard times. Following God during hard times. And I reckon most of us would describe these as hard times, as uncertain times, with the war or the battle with Iran going on, the war with Russia, the uncertainty that's in the world. It's certainly getting to be a more unsure place to live. Let's look at, first of all, a summary of chapter 3 through verse 12. He starts with, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word perilous means dangerous, hard to deal with, difficult, And truly, we do live in dangerous, difficult, hard to deal with times. And they will get worse. They will get worse. Why are things so difficult? Why are things so hard? Well, he tells us in verse 2, people, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy. First of all, their love is not right. Their love is not right. They are self-focused. They are self-absorbed. They are self-pleasing. It's all about self. In fact, watch it. Watch your own heart when life becomes all about you. In fact, when you feel that woe is me going on, call someone else and check on them. When you feel that woe is me coming on, pray for someone else. It'll just help. Now, I'm not making light of the difficulties you're going through, but I am saying that it's a good thing for us not to just be self-absorbed. He says here that that's what makes the world dangerous. Verse number 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Without natural affection, I've already done that one. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's all about self. Pleasing self. Not only selfish, sinful, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. So really he's saying, for this of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. They're not only just selfish, but they're sinful. They just do whatever they want to do and think it's okay. They're stubborn. Next two verses, for even ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They know more than anyone else. They are just right. You just have to know that. But Paul says in verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for they shall be manifest unto all men as theirs was. So that they will, if they don't turn from their sins, they will meet their doom, sadly. But notice he says in verse 10, he holds himself and says, Timothy, I want you to, instead of being like all these people, I don't want you to be influenced by self-absorption. I don't want you to be self-centered. I don't want you to be self-focused. I don't want you to live sinfully. I don't want you to just let whatever feels good go. I want you to follow my example, he says. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Now, can I just ask you something? Paul is here saying, Paul is here saying, Timothy, I want you to follow my example. I want you to be patient like I am. I want you to be loving like I am. I want you to be long-suffering like I am. I want you to have faith in God like I do. I want you to have purpose in life. I don't want you to just drift. I want you to be focused on pleasing the Lord. Let me ask you something. Would you tell people that? Would you tell people, follow me? I remember when I was just in Bible college, 20-some-year-old student, my professor, Mr. LeGrand, he said, would you guys say that? Would you tell people, follow me as I'm a follower of Christ? And I humbly thought, well, no, I wouldn't do that, trying to be humble. Well, my question is, why not? And that's why he asked me. He said, why not? He said, what's in your life that you don't want people to follow you? And I realize that we fall short, but can we say, Lord, to the best of my knowledge, I want people to be able to follow my example. That should be our goal. That should be our desire. Yeah, it's good to be humble. It's good to understand that we're sinful. It's good to know that we come short. And if the Lord marked sin, none of us would stand. But there is that part of us that says, you know what? Follow my example. Because I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to follow Him. And I hope that's our heart this morning. And then he says, he was persecuted. He was afflicted, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium. You remember, they drug him out of the city. They drug him out of the city. They stoned him. They left him for dead. Timothy's watching all this. Paul later just rose to his feet and went on his way back into ministry. He didn't quit. He just kept keeping on. But may I ask you, what is it? And we'll be asking this again in a minute. What is it that the Lord could allow to happen in your life, for people to do to you, that you'd say, that's it, not doing this anymore, not doing this Christian thing anymore? I hope there's nothing. I hope there's nothing that would happen like that. He says, I know, I've gone through all this. And then he says, but wait. He says, Timothy, you too. If you're going to live for the Lord, there's going to be people who don't approve of you. There's going to be people at work, when you bow your head to say blessing over your food, that they're going to make light of you. There's going to be people at school, when you don't swear and cut up and do the wrong thing like they do, they're going to make you feel bad. They're going to make you feel about this small. When you're at uni and you say, I believe that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, you're going to have people that tell you you're absolutely stupid. Timothy, get ready. Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to walk with the Lord? And then this morning, I want us to look at the study of our verses for today. And we're going to look primarily at two, and we're going to touch on the third. But our verses today, are verse 13 and verse 14. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So my 2 points this morning, and I intended to give anybody in high school or primary school, if you tell me my outline at the end of the lesson, at the end of the message this morning, I'll make sure I have something for you next week. All right? So, my outline, first of all, is to be ready. That's verse 13. And verse 14 is to be steady. Be ready and be steady. And as we look at this morning, first thing I want us to look at is the be ready. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. They're going to get worse. So he says, get ready for difficult times. Get ready for persecution. Get ready for people not appreciating the fact that you're a Christian. And you know what? We're getting closer to that. We're almost getting past being a Christian nation. It's almost not cool anymore. It's almost not the end thing to be a Christian. It's almost where Christianity gets in the way of us having peace one with another. But he says, in the last days, he says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. First thing we're going to start with is beware, be ready, watch out for evil men. The word evil there gives the idea of someone, let me get there. Be ready. Don't be discouraged from following the Lord. And that is our first point. Don't be discouraged from following the Lord. An evil man in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, but evil men, that's also used of Satan. But the word itself means the man whose heart there is the desire to harm. He is trained in every crime and completely equipped to inflict evil on any man. And basically, in the last days, in the days that are going to be dangerous as they are today, there will be people who are there to hurt. They are there to be mean. They are there to say harmful things. They are there to lie. In fact, you look at the word evil there, and as I mentioned earlier, that describes Satan, the evil one, and it describes anyone who would be against the Lord and who would try to dissuade you, to make you doubt your relationship with the Lord. These people will try to discourage you. Well, why would you believe in the Lord? Why would you follow the Lord? In fact, it says in that verse that they shall wax worse and worse. The idea is that they will get stronger and stronger. Their voice will be heard more and more. They'll be more and more confident. So don't be discouraged by evil men, by people that would hurt you. It's amazing how the Lord saw it coming. Second Peter says to us, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, their evil ways, by reason of whom the way of truth and of evil is spoken. So three ways they will try to stand against us, the evil men. First of all, they'll have wrong doctrine. They'll have wrong doctrine. They'll interpret scriptures not with scriptures, but according to their own interpretation. They'll give their own ideas. And by the way, when we start giving our own interpretation of scriptures, we're heading down a dangerous path. As I preach, you look at it and you say, preacher, I don't see that in there. I'm not getting that. I'm not getting how these people are dangerous. Well, feel free to talk to me about it, because when we're willing to make it up ourselves, we're getting dangerous. These guys, these evil men, they attack doctrine. Secondly, they attack doubt. They make us doubt. Are you sure? Are you really? You're one of those Christians? You're one of those believers? You're one of those people who follow God, who listen to the Bible, who read the Bible? You're one of those people? Why are you that? That's for old time people. That's for people that's just weird. And then there's defamation. Look at the last verse there. They speak evil of those that follow the Lord. They speak evil of those that follow the Lord. They make them look small. They make them not seem to matter. What is it that could happen that someone, an evil person, would say that's trying to hurt you? By the way, could someone say something that would hurt you so much that it would discourage you from following the Lord? Couldn't Job, remember when the evil one, Satan, tempted him, tested him, tried him, and Job took his family from him, took his wealth from him, took his health from him. It says in Job 1:22, no matter what the devil threw at him, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He was going to follow the Lord. He was going to stay faithful to the Lord. He was on His side. And then he says in Job 13:15, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I will maintain mine own ways before Him. when the Lord in John chapter 6 gave the said, "He that doesn't eat my flesh and drink my blood is not a part of me." Some of the people, when they heard that, they said, "What?" They didn't understand it. They couldn't. "What do you mean? We've got to eat your flesh and drink your blood to be one of your followers." And it says that many from that point went not with him. The Lord looked at the disciples and said, "Are you guys going to go away too? Are you going to go with the crowd that's leaving me?" And Peter said, "Where should we go? You're the one that has the words to the eternal life." So don't let anything, don't let no one, don't let what anyone trying to hurt you, don't let them take you away from loving the Lord and serving Him and being faithful. And then notice with me, do not be deceived by those who do not follow the Lord. Do not be deceived by those that do not follow the Lord. Now, but evil men and seducers. That word seducers is translated sometimes as imposters. If you're asleep now, you're not going to appreciate this. I'm getting ready to be loud. But they're known as, that word is only used one time in Scripture, and the idea is a wailer. Oh! And these guys, they make a big show. They make a big show to entertain. And people, they can draw the crowds. They can draw the people. And the idea is that this word was also used of people who could juggle. I can't juggle. Of people that can juggle. They entertain people and everybody goes, "Wow, that's really cool." Well, you know, I'm not going to that church. Preacher can't juggle. I'm not going to that church. It's not flash. They make it big. They make it flash. They make it to where that, wow, you're going to miss out if you don't go with us. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Think of, it's a little bit different deception, but I thought about Asaph. In Psalm 73, he was going through a point in his life where, you know, there's just those times in your life where you think everything should be settled and situated, and I ought to have all my ducks in a row, and everything ought to be going like hunky-dory, really good for me. Well, Asaph, here he is, an older man, and he thought all his ducks should be in a row. He thought, man, you know what? They weren't. And then he looks at people that don't know the Lord, and he said, you know what? Those people, they don't have near the problems. And this is what he says. Truly, is God to God is good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. But he says, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. That's the idea of this imposter. This imposter, he wails, he makes a big deal. He says, follow me, everything's going to be great. When really, it's not. Judgment is down the road for those that don't know Christ as Savior. By the way, in the end of chapter 73, Asaph goes to the temple and the Lord says, You know what happens to those that don't know me, don't you? This is the best life they'll ever live. You've got now and eternity. Trust me, he says, the Lord. And then the last thing here, be ready. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted from following the Lord. Don't be distracted from following the Lord. It says in this verse, evil men, seducers, but they will be deceiving and being deceived. The idea of the word deceived Do not be distracted from following the Lord. It means to wander, to cause to wander, to lead astray, or to distract from an intended or expected trajectory. These people, they want to distract. They want to deceive. They want to get your mind on a thousand other things besides following the true God. They don't want you to follow the Lord. They want you busy doing other things. And as I thought about this, I thought about my phone. How many of you have phones? Be honest. How many of us, when that thing goes beep, when that thing goes beep, no matter what we're doing, let me go check on Facebook. Let me look this up. I thought I had a thought. Let me get it. And you know what? We are a distracted bunch of people. We can lose the focus. And you know what? When you're alone with the Lord, I hope you turn your sound off to where you don't get a beep. I hope that there's times when you are just when you're reading or you're praying or you're spending time with family or you're doing your job that you stay focused. It's so easy for us to be distracted. They try to make us get distracted with untruth and keeping us away from truth and distracting. We know about distractions. Seeing then that we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. See, some of the distractions that we have are not necessarily bad. Some of the things that we have are weights. They're responsibilities that we have, but we really don't put enough effort into what we should be doing because we're so busy doing so many things. I read an illustration of a man who went to make himself a coffee. He started to open the coffee beans, and when he started to open the coffee beans, he noticed a crumb on the counter. And when he noticed a crumb on the counter, he knocked the crumb off, and as he knocked the crumb off, he heard a noise underneath the counter. As he looked under the counter, now he was there to make him a cup of coffee. As he opens the counter, he sees a mouse. He goes chasing and running after the mouse, and he does that, and then he hears another mouse, and he hears another creak, and and just by the end of the day, he still hasn't had his cup of coffee. And he's so distracted with everything else going on. You know what? We can be a distracted people. We can be a deceived group with not only sin, but the things that weigh us down. We can get distracted. We're drawn away by our own desires and wrongdoings. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We get weighed down by the way we think. Okay. Not only do we need to be ready, but we need to be steady. Got about 5 minutes to be steady here. 5 minutes to be steady. So he says there, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. How many of you, when you were growing up, you knew you were in trouble when you got that middle name? You got that middle name. Ben Kelly Gillum? That was the sure sign that I was in trouble if my mom told me that. Well, here in this verse, Timothy is not in trouble, but he starts the verse off like this. But you, Timothy, you are not to be like them. You are not to be discouraged. You are not to be distracted or deceived. You are to be faithful. You are to remain. You are to be steady. You are to be firm in what you believe. How can we be steady? First of all, by not being moved from right teaching and living. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The word continue is the idea of remaining. Don't move away from what you've believed. If it's scriptural, now if it's not scriptural, move away from it. Apollo and his wife, they had to move away from some teachings that they were thinking. Sometimes we have to learn, but for the most part, when we learn Scripture and we get it in context, we need to stick with it and not say, oh, I didn't really mean that. Continue. Remain faithful. Keep letting God's Word speak to your heart. Paul told them in Colossians, he said, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Just keep on keeping on. Don't let your emotions move you around. Don't let what other people say move you around. Don't let circumstances move you around. Just keep trusting Him. Don't let hardships move you. Don't let difficulties move you. So be steady by not being moved from right teaching and living. Secondly, by believing God's Word. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Believe God's Word. The Word is assured. Confident. It's the only time that word is used in our Bible. And it's the idea of knowing with certainty, knowing that, yeah, this is what the Bible says. It's sort of like, you know what? There's a lot riding. When God says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When you believe that verse, when you put your name in there, and you say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe He died on the cross for my sins. I believe He was resurrected. When you put your name in there and you get ready to die, that's a big, you're actually saying, that's a lot to put on the line. Your eternal soul, you're putting it on the line for Him. Only because He's done it for you. You know what? That's what we do. We trust Him with our heart. We trust Him. We believe His words. We're sure that He's not lying to us. And then lastly, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Just be confident that the Lord is at work, even when it doesn't seem like it. Then by following the example of those who went before. I love this. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, who did he learn them from? Well, Paul has said, now you've been watching me, you've been with me, you've watched my life, you know how I've lived. And yeah, he's included in that. But that whom there is plural. That whom there is plural. And he's taking us to the next verse. Timothy, you stay faithful. You keep believing. You keep trusting in the Lord. You keep faithful to that book because of those that have taught you. Who's taught you? Verse 15. and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What did Timothy do? He had mom and dad. Not dad, excuse me. Mom and grandma. Mom and grandma were at home as Timothy was growing up. They were teaching him the Scriptures. They were telling them about who God is. They were telling him that God was holy, that he loved them, that he had a plan for him. They were learning, Timothy was learning about God at home. May I ask each one of us, wherever you're home, wherever you, whatever is home for you, make sure that that Christ is being known and learned about in your home. When our kids were younger, we used to do up until they got older. We did a Bible story book, and I know some others have gotten it, where it just goes through every story of the Bible. And it's putting Scripture, it's putting the Bible stories in their minds, it's putting them, and every chance you get, man, can I ask that you pray? Pray for your meals, but preacher, I've never done that before. Well, it can start as easy as, "Dear Lord, thank you for this food. Amen." And the reason we do it is because that's what the Lord, every time in Scripture you see the Lord eating, he always thanks the Lord for it. He thanks his Father for it. That's the purpose of that. But it's also a good example. It's teaching our children, hey, how important it is for us to acknowledge God in everything we're doing. So let's let our homes be a place, just like for Timothy, that our kids learn about God. That our kids learn about God. I remember sometimes parents will send their kids to Christian schools, and they'll say, you teach my kids about God. I'll pay you the money. Yeah. Well, anyway, that really is not the way to go. If you're a Christian mom and dad, you should be trying your best to teach your children about the Lord. And you know what? You'll fail. They'll fail. But that's just the grace of God. That's the beautiful thing of it. That is the gospel in life, us learning about Him. So, what can we take home from today? What's the story of these verses? Well, first of all, be ready. Is there anything that others can say or do to you that would cause you to walk away from the Lord? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Is there anything anyone can say or do to you that would make you walk away from the Lord? Secondly, don't let circumstances or what others say make you doubt that the Lord is in control. The whalers, they were making all this. They were making a big show. They seemed to have it all together. But they didn't. Lastly, how are you being distracted from following the Lord and doing what He wants you to do? Are you doing what the Lord wants you to do? Are you fulfilling your responsibilities, or are you getting distracted from them? Sometimes it's as simple as putting this down or away. Sometimes it's as simple as saying, "No, I can't make it today. I've got other responsibilities. I've got to get things in order here." And then be steady. Are we letting emotions, circumstances, or other things influence us away from the Lord? Are we letting our emotions, our circumstances, or others influence us away from the Lord? Paul said to Timothy, "Timothy, you remain." You don't go by your emotions. You don't go by what other people say. You don't go by your circumstances. You trust the Lord. God has promised that He's in control. Are we trusting Him? And then lastly, follow the faith of those who have gone before. I know some of us are here this morning and we're first generation believers. Our parents don't know the Lord at all. We have those in Scripture. We have those that go to church with us. We have others that we can say, you know what? I want to live faithfully like they did. When I was growing up, I told you about Burley Day. Burley Day was just one of the most lovely men. He took interest in me. And Bob Gross. And I could just name the different men. They didn't just come beside of me and just stay with me all the time. When they could, they'd say an encouraging word to me. I'd teach a Sunday school class, do a shocking job. They'd say, good effort. They'd give me something I could improve on. Keep going. Let's be an encouragement to those that are coming behind us, whether it's our family or others. Let's keep on keeping on. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us now as we have looked at these couple of verses and a half, that you'd help us to be faithful. Help us to love you. Help us to know that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But help us to be steady, to remain, not living our lives based on our feelings, our emotions, our circumstances, but according to the truth of your word. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, and heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. I have a question or two for you. First of all, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'd love to show you how you can know Christ as your Savior. But number two is, are you following Him? Are you letting something distract you? Are you being deceived? Are you being made to doubt? Will you follow Him with all that your heart? If the Lord's spoken to you about something, will you commit that to Him this morning? Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to be changed by your word. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, your goodness, and care. And I thank you, Lord, for Paul's instructions to Timothy. Pray you'd help us to be faithful going forward and to know your interest in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad I talked about the Pilgrim's Progress before the message because I never mentioned it, did I? But anyway, we won't go back through that. Jared's going to come and lead us in John Newton's Amazing Grace. It's going to bring him up today, and I didn't do that either. But anyway, he came to the Lord. His mom really wanted him to know the Lord as Savior. She died when he was 7, and he ended up being a minister for the Lord, partly because of her influence. This card's at the back. Let's sing about Amazing Grace.
And we're going to do Amazing Grace, and we're going to do 3 verses of that. Thank you.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I I first believed. Well, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Wonderful. God bless you all. You're now dismissed in God's loving care. Thank you.